What's good, everybody, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, King David of Horning,
AKA Broke Rider Dave.
aka Broke Rider Dave. I'm calling. It is your show for this next season, so I'm addressing you accordingly.
Yeah. Well, I am
And
generous.
we're doing our first double feature, a brand new thing that Broke Rider Dave wanted to try out,
It's our
which.
second one.
Oh, second one. Yeah, sorry. We just posted
The
the
first one,
first
yeah.
one, and so somebody already said that they were excited to watch it. They liked the they said they liked 12 Angry Men, and that was cool that we reviewed it. But this time it is my turn.
Yeah, I'm a generous king letting you pick some movies.
Yeah, you didn't have to.
Yeah.
You could have just ran the whole show.
Yeah.
But thank you, thank you, my liege. I thought I'd also, because when I was watching the movies last night, I texted you and said sometimes being a reviewer can suck sometimes.
Yeah.
That you're looking to review and make actual critiques. That sometimes you just forget to kind of sit back and actually enjoy the movie that
Yeah.
you're watching. I don't know if I'm the only one who gets that.
No, I get that too, yeah.
So I just thought I'd give the option of a segment before we get started with our reviews of on second thought, like, is there any movies that we had done before? Not like the second chances thing that we did
Yeah.
last season, but something that you thought, you know, it's kind of grown on me. I think I would have probably given this a different score. I was thinking specifically for me, it was Speak No Evil. I
Okay.
don't know why that. I think that I'm for what it was trying to do, I think that I probably would have graded it a little bit higher than I did. Or maybe something that you thought should have got lower.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm trying to think.
Well, we'll just put a pin in it then.
You know what? Now that
What?
you're saying it, I'm really thinking that Venom should have been scored way higher.
Given the stuff that we have seen over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'm really seeing that it is a cinematic masterpiece.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
you think it's right up there with 12 Angry Men that we reviewed last time?
Yeah. Genius
Do
work right there.
you think you would have graded it as lower, or do you think it's good exactly where it is?
I don't know. Because I
Because
think
we did re-review it, and we did
while we
re-review
first
it and
review it,
say,
yeah, I can't remember quite where it landed on the re-review.
I mean, we said it wasn't good, but we did say it wasn't the dumpster fire
Because
that we made it out to be.
I think it's like total score for us. It was like around a 10 out of 30, maybe a little bit lower. That's probably right where it belongs.
I'd say about a 10.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the time, it was like our go-to movie of like, this movie is trash.
Yeah, it was the first bad movie we reviewed without us knowing it was going to be a bad movie going in.
But then time passed, five more seasons happened,
And we've
and
seen
we
a
were like, you
lot of bad
know,
movies.
we've seen a lot of bad movies.
Well, we haven't seen that many, even though we did a season of bad movies. A lot of
We've
those are
seen a lot of
halfway
bad
decent.
movies, but a lot of them we just don't talk about
Yeah.
or we haven't reviewed yet. All
Yeah.
right. Well, Venom then. All right. That was just a little optional thing I thought we might, you know, play around with in the future. Just like if you think about it before a random review, just go, you know, I really did like Lighthouse. I don't, but just as an example.
I really tried to like that movie.
But all right. Well, we'll put a pin on that until now. We can just jump straight into the double feature that was my pick this time.
Yeah.
And as I believe you said that you wanted to go down, you want to do the non-horror first and then follow it up with the horror.
Yeah.
And I gave us a comedy.
Okay.
I don't know how did you it's we're reviewing Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man. I kind of still wanted to keep it somewhat horror. You know, you have that Universal movie monsters as Invisible Man.
Yeah. So Strangers on the Train was a horror movie for you.
Yes.
Oh, I thought, Abbott Costello was a horror movie and then Strangers on the Train was just more like of a drama thriller.
No, are you kidding?
No.
I can't tell if you're joking or not, because Abbott and Costello was obviously a comedy.
I thought it was a horror comedy.
No, that it's a straight up comedy. It's a
Well, it's considered a
Abbott and
science fiction
Costello movie. I
comedy,
just
yeah.
chose it because I wanted it to. Oh well, Invisible Man, because I Meet the Wolfman. I just wanted to keep it like comedy. You know, it was a non-horror and a horror, so I thought, well, good transition. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
So are you gonna have to go back and be like, I'm gonna have to kind of edit some of these remarks I was gonna make?
No, but it just threw me off because I don't really view Strangers on a Train as a horror movie.
Well, it's a crime thriller.
Yeah.
And I usually put thrillers kind of in the same category.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
It's considered a crime thriller, and I've always,
See, I've always put thrillers in more of the action genre compared to
Okay, I mean, fair enough. I mean,
horror.
plus it
Yeah.
was Hitchcock, and we usually
Yeah.
associate Hitchcock with horror.
Yeah, no, that's why I was like, how did he pick a non-horror Hitchcock movie? But okay.
All right, well,
Happening
should we just say
still,
goodbye
even.
now, or should we
Huh?
should we just say goodbye now?
Yeah. But having still, meet the Invisible Man.
Okay, were you ever like into like Abbott and Costello or Three Stooges or anything like that?
Three Stooges a little bit. Abbott and Costello, no. I really haven't watched any of their stuff till last night.
Only thing I knew before this about Abbott and Costello was their famous Who's On First sketch.
See,
You
I've
know
heard
that
of
one?
that, but I don't really know what that is, so.
It's a sketch about like wordplay, like who's on first, who's is the name of the person. So it's like who's on first? No, I'm telling you who is the name of the guy, who's on first. It's
Oh, yeah.
a big baseball scheme thing that's it's one of their more famous sketches.
Yeah, they do something similar in this movie, too.
Yeah. But yeah, I was always a Three Stooges kind of guy. But I also picked it because I'm a sucker for old school slapstick. And
That's what this is, yeah.
so we have Abbott and Costello or Lou and Bud. Think of a quick sum up, I guess.
But Alexander, they're private detectives, brand new on the job.
Fresh out of the, I guess, Detective Academy.
Yeah,
And
and a guy comes in and he's like, I want to hire you. And then there's a radio news brief where they're like, hey, this guy who looks just like the guy that just walked in, escaped from jail, was wanted for murder. And you got.
wanted for murder, and they're and he's like, I want to hire you guys. I need you to drive me over to my fiance or my uncle's house where my fiance is.
His fiance's uncle, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was his uncle.
Yeah, and while that's going on the news brief, I think one of them was like, oh, it's the guy. And the other
Yeah, it's
one's
that
like,
guy.
leave me alone. No, it's not. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, if during this whole thing, Lou is like the bumbling, enthusiastic buffoon of the movie, of the comedy duo, and Bud is the like stern, not stern, but he's more of the serious straight man, but he's
Yeah.
clueless in his own right.
Yeah, so Lou was like, oh, I think this guy's Tommy. And Bud was like, no.
Why would he want us to come in and solve his own murder or
Yeah.
solve the murder that he's the part of?
Yeah.
And the man who is trying to hire them, his name is Tommy Nelson.
A middleweight boxer.
Middleweight boxer who is on the run for killing his promoter, his manager.
Yeah. So they take him to his fiance's uncle's house, and there we get introduced to he has a serum to make him invisible.
Hey, what a coincidence. How convenient.
Yeah, but the uncle's like, I really don't want to give you this because the guy who created and used it drove him crazy.
Yeah, much like
And
the original.
yeah, Invisible Man. And he's
Yeah.
like, I don't want to give this to you until I find a way to bring you back. And then
But yeah.
the cops show up, and while the uncle and the fiance distract the cops, Tommy Nelson just takes serum.
He says, screw it.
Yep. And he turns invisible.
He turns invisible in front of Lou. Meanwhile, Bud is over there talking to the police because they found out that there's actually a reward for this guy's capture.
Yeah.
And Bud's like, hey, well, I'm gonna get the police come in here. I'm gonna try to get this reward.
Yeah, let's get the money. Yeah.
And Lou sees Tommy turn invisible. Now, what do you think of the invisibility effect?
I'm guessing it's pretty good for the 50s, for 51.
I thought it was pretty good because
Yeah.
you see, much like in Hollow Man, you see the skin go away first, and then you see like the nervous system, and then the nervous system fades
Yeah.
away.
And the skeleton fades away and then they're gone. Yeah.
The police shows up, and
Well,
Tommy's gone, and meanwhile Lou's sounding like a crazy person.
yeah. He was just here and then he disappeared. First hand disappeared, then he disappeared.
And then they're like, "All right, we're gonna take you guys down to the station and for questioning."
Yeah. And there, Bud getting questioned by, I'm guessing, a psychiatrist.
Yeah, who I guess also is a part-time hypnotist.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna try to hypnotize you to find out what you really saw. And then Bud hypnotizes the doctor.
Yeah, shenanigans.
Shenanigans, boss. He just kind of hypnotizes a whole room of people. Like
Yeah, just
everyone
one by
walk
one, they keep
in.
coming in, and he's holding like the pocket watch, the you're getting very sleepy routine.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't know how to wake anybody up, so I'm gonna leave.
Which this becomes an ongoing joke, like the hypnotist psychiatrist becomes an ongoing joke as the
Yeah.
movie goes along. But they devise a plan, or the fiance shows back up, offers Bud and Lou $500. I need you to take this briefcase to this designated location where Tommy is. And Bud is still like, all right, well, I'm gonna get the cops again, and we'll get them this time, and I'll get that money.
Yeah, basically they're helping him one second, then wanting to turn him in the next second for like almost the entire movie.
Yeah, that's kind of like the shtick for the little bit
Yeah.
of the beginning is, and then the police show up and Tommy vanishes again, and they just think that these guys are just wasting their time, like just crying wolf as it is.
Basically, yeah.
But eventually, Tommy and them come to an agreement, and they're like, okay, we'll help you find out who actually murdered your manager.
Yeah. And basically, like, his manager, what they think basically happened was his manager was murdered because Tommy refused to throw a boxing match. So,
Got in bad with some seedy characters in the underworld and the of crime. So they're going to get Lou in as a professional middleweight boxer,
yeah.
though he doesn't know how to fight.
So it's basically him half-heartedly throwing punches and Tommy throwing actual punches in front of him.
A chance for some physical comedy, I'll say this, like, if you do not enjoy that kind of shtick, you're not going to like this kind of movie, because it is very much played up for like the audience who enjoy that kind of humor.
Yeah, I could tell.
Like you, I mean, there are instances where the movie pauses and it's like, this is where the laugh would be. And so if you don't like Abbott and Costello, this is going to be a long movie for you.
And that's what it was for me. Like,
Really?
yeah.
We're going to have very vastly different scores.
Yeah, I didn't laugh once during this movie, so
No.
no.
And my streak of recommending movies that Dave doesn't like continues.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I guess.
I love that kind of stuff. I love old school stuff like that. I had the lights on, I had a bowl of popcorn, and I was sitting here giggling.
Yeah, this one was just not for me.
No, I know to cross this off the list for any future. All right, does not like slapstick.
Yeah, which is fun. What's weird, because I haven't seen the Three Stooges since I was a kid, but I remember enjoying that. But yeah, I didn't enjoy this
Is
very much.
that why I hear the lack of enthusiasm in your voice talking about this?
For me, this is just a boring movie.
Well, let's at least get through the rest of the plot here.
Yeah.
So their plan is that Tommy is going to pretend to fight while Lou kind of like hams it up. They need to kind of get in close to the guy who basically made the hit.
Yeah. And so they have
And
Lou train at the gym, and Tommy, which kind of makes him look super amazing.
yeah, he like and you know he's Lou's throwing punches at nothing and acting like a fool, and meanwhile the other guy's getting punched in the face by an invisible hand, and everyone's like, oh my God, this guy's amazing.
So
So
get him a fight with what was the guy's name?
who the current champion?
The guy that Tommy knocked out that Lou's about to fight this time.
I will tell you in 1 second.
Yeah, but basically this
Is
guy already
Lou
had a fight scheduled and he's like everyone's like, oh
Rocky?
yeah, Rocky Hanlon
Yeah.
already had a fight scheduled and they decided to cancel that one to give him the fight with Lou because Lou looks so good.
Which they determined of just watching him punch a punching bag.
Yeah, and then they had a little comedy skit where Lou's like, I haven't been in a fight since school. Oh well. And then they asked him about the fight history, and he was naming kids he fought in school. He's like, I
Yeah,
fought this guy
that's
in
kind of a
fourth,
taste of the.
this guy in sixth. Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the little taste of the who's on first kind of
Yeah.
sketch. So the fight is set, and one of the lady or the female associate of the these criminals invites Lou over to her penthouse, I guess.
Yeah.
That's in the same building that Lou and Bud are at. And she basically is trying to get him, like, hey, why don't you, enticing him with her female charms,
Yeah, she's
basically saying, hey, why don't we get you to throw the match and my guy will pay handsomely
Yeah, you
if
look
you,
too perfect to go earn your money fighting. Why don't you just throw the match, make a boatload of money that way?
And so they make this agreement to do so.
He'll take a dive in
Meanwhile,
the fifth, yeah.
yeah, he'll take a dive in the fifth. Meanwhile, Tommy is getting drunk. He's the invisibility's going to his head, and he's it's kind of going to his head, but he's also still kind of, it was also just because he was drunk. He was being drunk and more shenanigans going on with he's drinking other people's drinks, and people think that it's Bud drinking their drinks and stuff like that. And fight breaks out in the bar. Tommy gets knocked out.
And I gotta carry the invisible man off.
Yeah, they're carrying the Invisible Man out. More physical comedy. Wakes up the next day. It's the day of the fight. And they're agreeing, okay, Tommy is going to make sure to do all the punching. Lou's going to ham it up in the ring. And then when inevitably the criminal boss guy gets angry and tries to put a hit out on Bud, they'll get the cops to come over, sabotage it, catch the real criminals.
Yeah, pretty
What
solid.
could go wrong?
Right. But they take Tommy to his fiance's uncle's house and he ties him down. He ties Tommy down. He's like, "Kid, I'm not gonna let you fight. You're already going crazy."
But it's okay. Tommy off screen escapes.
Yeah.
He off screen
Locker
escapes
room before
in time
Tommy
for the
gets
fight.
there. Yeah, before Tommy gets there in the locker room. But loses mind. He's like, "I'm about to get killed out there. I can't fight." And Bud's
I
like,
gotta be honest, man. As we're talking about this, it's really bumming me out that it bored you.
Yeah. And Bud's just like, "Well, that's fine. That means no one's gonna try to kill me if you lose, so go out there and just lose. We make our money and then we're done with all this."
But that can't happen.
Yeah, Tommy shows up, fight happens.
Fight happens. Rocky gets knocked out. I think it was the third.
Yeah, Rocky gets
He
knocked out in third.
gets knocked out in the third, and Bud's like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, Bud's like, "I gotta
Because
leave."
they don't want to kill Lou, they want to kill the manager. Which
And
doesn't
bring
make
Lou
sense to
for it.
me. But so now the bad guys are waiting in the dressing room.
Basically, they have a cop that's in on it. They're like, "Hey, no one else comes in here but those two."
So they go into the dressing room. Bad guys are there. They overhear Lou and Bud talking about like how they know that they killed the other manager. Basically, just saying we know everything, giving them more of the reason to kill him. And but Tommy's there. They tussle with the gun. Bud, Lou, and Tommy get the upper hand, although not before Tommy gets stabbed by a throwing knife
Yeah, he gets a knife thrown
by
at
the
him.
bad guy. Police come. Arrest the bad guys. Tommy gets taken back to the fiance's uncle's house, and the serum to bring him back is injected. And now we can see Tommy.
Yeah, well, first, because he got stabbed and lost blood, he got a blood transfusion from Lou.
Same blood type, luckily.
And then once Tommy reappears, Lou starts disappearing. And
And
they're like,
then
"Oh,
the
you didn't get that much of the serum. You should reappear soon."
so he immediately starts acting like a pervert. At being invisible, he like kisses a nurse, and then just as he's kissing the nurse, the visibility serum wears off, and he's just standing there naked in the middle of a hospital. I don't know. I didn't understand this part though, but his top half was turned around.
I don't know. Yeah.
That part was a little weird to me. And da 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 da. That's all, folks.
Yeah. What I also thought was weird is he got the, serum through the blood transfusion or whatever. But they're like, "Oh, you didn't get much." They never described not getting much would have made the effects not last.
I
Because
don't
we
know,
saw
man.
that from the
It's a
beginning.
goofy comedy. Like there's a lot of stuff
Then this movie
that
doesn't
I
even
watch.
happen. Like, "Oh, I'm scared to give this to you because I don't know how to bring you back." "Oh,
Well, he
don't
didn't
take
give it to
it.
him.
You don't get too much. It doesn't last that long."
It's like, how do you know? It was just a setup for a funny end joke. Why are you getting so serious, Dave? Why can't you just sit back and laugh?
I'm just saying, that's the question I guess. Like, that makes like a big plot point of this movie pointless. But I guess that's
Well,
comedy.
Well, I just had to keep reminding myself this is an Abbott and Costello movie rather than just a regular comedy movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is a vehicle for their routine. And when you look at it
Yeah, I
as
can
a
see that.
vehicle for
Yeah.
their routine, then you kind of have to, people who are going to go see this are obviously fans of Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to go in knowing that already.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But all right, well, I'm interested to hear your breakdown of it. You already said you didn't really care much for it, but at least let's see what you thought of technicals and story.
Right. Well, technical, I'm gonna give it a 7 because effects were pretty good for the time when this movie came out. And like I said, it being a comedy movie, that I feel like the effects were actually pretty good in this movie.
Yeah, for a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I put if Giant Claw was a 3 or 4 and 12 Angry Men is around a 9, I have to give this about a 7.6.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.6 because the invisibility was actually to me surprisingly way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Little effects like, making sure that it looks like the at one point Tommy's driving and they make sure to push the cushion down to make sure, like, that there's an effect on some cigarettes where
Yeah.
there's a cigarette going. There were little things that were like, there's a little bit more detail in this than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah, technicals in this movie aren't bad at all.
And you get a variety of different settings and whatnot. You have a boxing ring, you have a hospital, we have a old spooky mansion.
Yeah.
So 7.6, I think, is fair.
Yeah, they do a good job on the technicals. Right, now
Now,
the
here's where I think
story.
you're gonna dock it.
For the story, I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
Okay.
Like, I was gonna give it a 5 until like I had the problem with the end that kind of, made an entire plot point of this movie irrelevant. So I took a half point off for that, but yeah, so I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
I gave it a 7.5, actually,
Yeah.
because again, when you go into this knowing this is a Abbott and Costello movie first and foremost, so it's obviously for people who enjoy their shtick, which I, again, I like that era of movies and I like that era of comedy slapstick.
Yeah.
It's like, and there's plenty of things that you can like dock it for. Like, how did they pass the detective course? Oh, well, they just slipped the head guy $20. Okay, why does Tommy or why does the uncle have an invisibility formula? Who cares?
Right.
It's just. The story is not the important part in this thing. This whole thing is an avenue for their routine. So
Yeah.
putting that foremost in my mind, I was like, all right, for what that is, I gave it a 7.5.
All right. Well, yeah, I can see that, but yeah, I'm gonna stick with the 4.5 for me.
It's fine.
Then enjoyment. Like, it's
You
not.
can't be honest.
Yeah. Like, I've seen worse movies. I just know this movie isn't for me. And I found myself bored a lot. And that's, like, one thing I hate when watching movies is being bored. But I get why other people might enjoy this, but it wasn't for me. So I'm gonna give it a 4.
Okay. I gave it an 8.5. I love movies like this. It honestly made me think of that romanticized version of my that romanticized period in my mind of when I think the golden age of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, especially because I texted you halfway through when I said I just need to turn my mind off and just enjoy this. And once I did that, and I'd like stopped taking notes and I was watching it, I had the lights off. It was I really enjoyed myself. I liked that. Again, it wasn't for you, but it was for me.
Yeah, I get that. So your total score was a 23.6 out of 30, and I gave it a 15.5 out of 30. Which breaks down to about a 14.6. No, a 19.6 out of 30 is its final score.
I think that's
So,
hilarious that you thought that was my horror movie pick.
yeah, I thought it was like a horror comedy movie.
All right, so well, for future reference, I'll go when I make my picks, I will pick something that is definitely horror because I usually thrillers I kind of lump into that sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's
So,
very different. Like, I think thrillers, I'm like, oh, that's more actiony than horror.
all right, well, I mean that's fair. I will just know that going forward.
Yeah.
That I'll lean into something that I know is most definitely can't be considered anything other than horror.
Yeah,
Maybe I should have chose Things from Another World, but It, as a movie, I'm still anxious to hear what you thought of it. So, why don't you start off with the Strangers on a Train?
Now we're on to Strangers on a Train, which may or may not be a horror movie.
Which may or may not.
Yeah, depending on what you where you put thrillers at.
I just imagine Dave giving me a side eye right now as he's saying that
Yeah.
and shaking his head like, fuck, I should have got a different co-host.
But I could see why this might be considered a horror movie, because I could see this being like a preemptive, like Psycho movie. Which is definitely a horror movie, so. But here you got two guys on the train, strangers on a train.
You
Just
got
living.
Guy and you got Bruno.
Guy is a tennis star, and then Bruno is a guy that lives with his parents.
Yeah, I guess his parents are well-to-do. He just
Yeah.
kind of lives off their money.
Yeah. And they're having a normal conversation about Guy's life, because I guess Bruno reads a lot of the Socialite paper. You know, and then Bruno takes the conversation with a hard left turn, saying, "Hey, I have this idea for a murder.
Yeah,
But
he
if you
knows
kill
all about.
who I want dead and I kill who you want dead, no one will ever suspect a thing."
Because he knows from reading the paper, he knows that that guy is dating the senator's daughter right now
Yeah,
from
and
the gossip pages, even though he's technically still married.
still married to Marion, who,
We'll get to her in a minute.
yeah. And he's like, "I'll murder Marion. You just gotta murder my father." And Guy
And Guy
thought it was
is,
like kind of like a joke type thing, like, "Oh, yeah, okay."
yeah, well, he's just trying to get out of there because
Yeah.
he hasn't wanted to talk to this guy since he came up. Bruno is not the kind of guy who you want to get stuck with on a train.
Yeah. Very first thing Bruno says is like, "Oh, I don't really talk that much," and then proceeds to talk the entire time.
Sits, he was originally sitting across from him on the train, then goes
Yeah.
over and sits right there next to him, like uncomfortably close, like,
Yeah.
dude.
At that point, I'm like, "Dude, get away from me, man."
Yeah, this whole movie is about the importance of just saying no.
Yeah.
Like, you,
It's
sometimes,
setting boundaries. If God
yeah,
was set boundaries from the get-go, none of this would have happened.
sometimes you don't have to be polite and you just say, dude, can you like go away? Like, or just get up and move somewhere else.
Yeah.
So yeah, he basically is talking about Bruno mentions casually that he hates his father. And
Yeah.
he's like, you know, what if I kill your soon-to-be ex-wife and you kill my father, who I hate,
Yeah.
and then nobody will suspect either of us
We don't know each other.
because we don't have any connections to each other's
Yeah.
people who we would kill. Now, having set the ground rules, Dave, I have a proposal for you. Remind me to talk to you about it at the end of this thing. Speaking of cross murders, I have a proposal for you.
I don't think it'll work. We got too many connections to each other.
Yeah, but I'm not, I don't live in Indiana.
Yeah.
And conveniently, the person who I want you to murder is in Indiana. Nobody would ever suspect me.
Yeah. There you go. Oh.
But then Guy gets out. He gets out. He's like, all right, yeah, Bruno, whatever. And then he leaves. But he accidentally leaves behind a lighter that was given to him by, I think it said from A to G
Yeah.
on it. Which is,
Shown by Anne, yeah.
yeah, it's a gift from his current, the senator's daughter, his current girlfriend. Then we meet Miriam.
Yeah. But I think Bruno took him leaving his lighter as kind of like the signal, like, okay.
Kind of like, that's what I was thinking too. Like,
Yeah.
he's like, ah, he left this as kind of like a, yeah, go ahead with the
Yeah.
deed kind of
I'm
thing.
interested, yeah.
He was just being careless.
Yeah. And Bruno doesn't really understand social cues or anything like that.
Yeah, he's
Socially, he's
definitely,
not very advanced.
no, he's not. He's definitely on the spectrum in some kind of capacity.
Yeah.
He can't understand social cues. He didn't understand that Guy just wanted to get out of there and that he is not at all being, I mean, he was kind of going along with it, but I imagine we've all had that
Yeah.
thought or had that like imagined scenario in our mind.
Yeah.
But then we meet Miriam because Guy is getting, he's going to Metcalf, which is, I don't know how far away it is from New York, but he's going to Metcalf. That's where his current wife, who he wants to make his ex-wife, is. He's trying to go over like the details to get this divorce over with.
Yeah, and then you find out it was his ex-wife that wanted out, but now the guy is having the success that he's having. She's just like, yeah, we're not getting divorced.
If I'd have known how much money you make doing tennis, I wouldn't have divorced you.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's pregnant, by the way,
Yeah, with another man's child.
With another man's child,
And
and
she's
this
like,
is
you're gonna
before
raise this
DNA
child, yeah.
testing.
It was before, yeah. Because
So,
DNA didn't really come out until like the 90s of when they could test it, so.
yeah, late 80s, early 90s,
Yeah.
and so she's like, "Well, wow, how would that look in the gossip papers? Guy stepping out on his pregnant wife,
Yeah.
going with the senator's daughter. Oh, that'd be good gossip." So there's no way to prove that the baby isn't his.
Yeah.
So that old stereotype of like the gold, that's a that's one of those stereotypes that you hear nowadays that I guess was still around back in the 50s,
Yeah.
of the quote unquote gold digging
Well, yeah.
woman trying to just get the guy's money.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, guy calls Anne, or he's basically tells her, like, yeah, she doesn't want to get the divorce now. He's like, I could strangle this woman.
Which I thought was good. He says it a couple of times. I could strangle her. I could wring her little neck and stuff like that. I thought that was going to come into play later. Like it was going to be like, yeah, he was a crazy person. He's
Yeah, he has to say it a couple times because a train is going by and she can't really hear him. She's like, what are you saying? What?
and we get a glimpse of Bruno's home life. He's
Yeah.
obviously very close with his mother.
Yeah, he's very much been babied by his mother, and his dad is like,
This guy needs to leave.
yeah, he's like, he's old, he should be holding down his own job on his own now. Yeah.
And his mother is very much like she'll listen to his like lunatic ramblings. Like at one point he's talking about like blowing up the White House, and she's just like, "Oh, you naughty boy." And it's like, "Oh, so you're a big reason why your son is like this."
Yeah, so you know your son's a complete psychopath. Okay.
But he calls he tries to call Guy because his dad comes in, and remember he hates his father.
Yeah.
So the more and more he's thinking about it, the more and more he's still liking this idea of like this cross murder thing. So he tries to call Guy, and Guy just like ignores the phone call.
Yeah.
Well, he answers the phone and is on it for like a second, then he just ignores the
He's
phone
like, it's
call.
Bruno from the train. He's like, who? Bruno from the train.
Who?
So we're doing this, right? And he hangs up.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say no.
Yeah, he didn't say no.
So I say what you will, though, this guy who's a crazy person who doesn't have any good social skills, he was good at tracking people.
Yeah, because next thing you know, he's down in Metcalf, and then
Well,
he goes.
found Miriam very quickly.
Well, I'm guessing back in the 50s, if you went to a phone booth, there'd be phone books with numbers and addresses in it. Found her address, kind of watched her, and then followed her.
She's
She's
off
going to
with two.
like a fair with two other guys.
Yeah, she's a harlot.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so she's on this like double date with which this thruple date, which is very weird. Got to be weird for the dudes. Like, yeah, we're both on this date with this one woman. Hey, whatever.
Yeah, we'll find out who she chooses at the end of the night.
Or will she?
Yeah.
They go to an amusement park, and Bruno follows them, and not being
Raven
subtle
catches
at
him a
all.
couple times too. She like stares at him like, oh.
He's not being subtle at all in his like following her.
No. It's
He's
almost like he's
sitting
toying
there,
with her.
yeah. He's sitting there looking dead at her face
Yeah.
while he's like walking like feet, a couple feet behind. Now, can I ask your opinion? Is it wrong that I've been to amusement parks and carnivals and have had that thought of if I was tailing somebody, how good would I be at it?
I think everyone's kind of had that thought before, or they've had the thoughts like, I wonder if someone's actually like tailing me.
That or like I've like sometimes I've gone to like an amusement park and then been like, all right, if I had to tail like that person over there, like how far would I be behind them before like it seems suspicious, and like could I keep my eye on them from like a greater, like I'm not sitting there, I don't choose a person and then stalk them, but I just go like where would I go,
Yeah.
and what would my what would my route and what would my technique be?
But also, if I just saw someone at an amusement park alone multiple times, I'd be like, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just run into the same person over and over and over, the same person at a carnival.
Yeah, and I've never gone by myself to something like that. And I don't think a lot of people do.
Unless they're tailing someone.
Yeah. Like, if they're there by themselves, they're working those things, or they're tailing someone.
Which he tails her to the carousel. He tails her to the test your strength machine where you like hit something with a mallet
Yeah, or, and
to the
then.
Tunnel of Love, which there was a pretty good fake out
Yeah.
in the Tunnel of Love where they're going through and then you just
Here's.
with shadows you see and then you hear her scream and then she's just screaming out of like oh ha, 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 and you're like oh okay he didn't kill her here,
Yeah.
but they go over to like Smoochers Island I guess,
Yeah.
which is just like this thing in the middle of a lake and Bruno's just tailing her. It goes there and then she like separates from the two guys briefly and that's where he strangles her to death, which
Yeah.
she I love this acting because she just kind of lets it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Doesn't really fight much for against it.
just like this might as well happen.
Yeah.
Get a cool shot of her him strangling like her, she drops her glasses and we see him strangling her through the reflection of the glasses.
Yeah, I like that shot.
That was a pretty cool shot.
Yeah.
And then he bails, leaves, she's dead, walks right past the two dudes who are
Yeah.
like, oh, what's going on? And they're like, oh my God, she fainted. And he's like sailing back to the mainland. And they're like, oh my
Well, first
God.
he comes back to the body to pick up the lighter he dropped.
Oh, yeah, that's a big part. Yeah.
Yeah, he
He.
dropped the light guy's lighter. He picks that up and her glasses.
Which I don't know why he would pick up the. I mean, I guess as evidence, but I mean, I'm sure Guy would find out soon.
I think it's more as like a souvenir.
Oh yeah, he's a crazy person. He's like
Yeah.
Dexter. He needs a souvenir.
Yeah.
So they leave. One guy kind of notices Bruno acting strangely as everybody's sitting there, like
Yeah.
looking towards the direction of the guy screaming, like "Oh my God, so and so, Miriam's dead!"
Yeah.
And he leaves. Meanwhile, Guy is on another train,
Yeah.
coming back from I don't know where, but it's just him alone with another guy. Who's been a little sauced? He's just kind of singing to himself in the cart. They make a little small talk. Guy gets off and he is going home. But he's not alone. Bruno's waiting for him when he gets home.
Yeah. And Bruno tells him exactly what he did. He's like, "Hey, I did my part." Yeah, he
He's like,
kills
"What are
him.
you talking about?" Yeah, like I yeah. Here's the glasses. Don't worry, she didn't suffer. I made it quick. And not to add to Bruno's plan or give anybody else ideas, but if his plan was to not implicate either of them, I don't think he should have told Guy what he did until some time. That way, Guy's reaction to finding out Miriam's death would have been more authentic.
Yeah.
Because while he's being told this, he's getting a phone call. Like he hears his phone ringing from outside, which is obviously the police trying to call to say, "Hey, your wife's been murdered."
Yeah.
But you know, Bruno's crazy, so what can you do?
Yeah.
Guy goes directly to his Anne's house where I guess she lives with her father, the senator.
Yeah, and he is like, "Don't even care." He's like, "You got an alibi to get out of this, right?" And guy's like, "Yeah, I was on the train."
Oh, then you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Turns out the guy he talked to was sauced.
He was, I guess, blackout drunk.
Yeah, he's like, "I don't remember seeing guy at all." And guy was like, "Well, we talked about this and this."
You were
And
singing about a goat.
they, yeah. It was like, "Oh, I guess. All right."
Well, there goes my, which I was thinking the same thing when I was like, well, surely that's his alibi anyway, because he knew that the guy was on the train.
Yeah.
But they said, no, well, that guy was on a train from this point to this point, and you could have gotten on the train at this point and just known that the guy was on there.
Yeah. But sounds like,
So
don't they have like train tickets?
that's what I was thinking too, because I don't know how good security was back in the 50s. I had to keep reminding myself, yes, but just check the security foot. Oh, no security footage.
No security footage. But you'd think there'd still be tickets, right?
You would think there'd be tickets, or maybe question the person like who gets the tickets and is like, "Hey, you remember seeing this man?"
Yeah, but
But
I guess if you buy a ticket to DC or New York and you get off early, no one's gonna notice, so yeah.
But long story short, his alibi is pretty much out the window.
Yeah.
So now I thought this was funny. So Bruno keeps approaching Guy
Yeah.
like at different times, trying to be like, "Hey, we got the I got this thing all planned out, and I know how I want you to kill my father." Guy's not having any of this. He's like, "Get away from me, you crazy person!" And Bruno's like, "You know, I know the perfect time when you can do it. I can slip you the key," and which at this point I gotta say, Bruno's an asshole. If Guy was willing to go with this,
Yeah.
because he didn't give Guy a chance to be like, hey, this is how I want you to kill Miriam. This is where I want you to do it.
Yeah.
Wait for me to be in a public place.
Right.
But he just goes and just strangles her. Meanwhile, when it's his dad, he's like, all right, I want you to do this. Look, I have it all planned out. It's like, well, you didn't even give Guy a chance to plan out his murder. You're a horrible accomplice.
Right. But yeah, so, and he's like, you need to be done by this day because I didn't have to go to Florida.
And like at this point, I would also tell Bru because Guy is the prime suspect for his wife's murder.
Yeah.
He has no real alibi as to where he was,
And he is
and
the one who benefits the most from her murder.
so I at this point I would try to get on Bruno's level and be like, "Yo, man, the deal's obviously off. The whole point was to not implicate me. You've turned me into their prime suspect.
Yeah.
You suck at this crisscross murder."
Right. Like, dude, what the hell? You screwed me over.
Yeah, you the whole point was that I was not supposed to be implicated.
Yeah.
I'm the only one they're thinking who did it.
Yeah.
Couldn't have waited until I was like at a tennis match or something.
Right.
But yeah, he approaches them at different points, and Guy's just trying to like distance himself
Yeah.
and trying to weigh his options, like, do I go to the police?
Yeah, like, what am I
Oh.
doing here? And every time I was like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And guess I barely know this dude.
Yeah, I barely know this dude that keeps approaching me.
Yeah.
This guy who keeps approaching me and telling
The
me, hey, can
sketchy
you come over
guy.
here so I can talk to you?
Yeah, the sketchy guy that keeps approaching me. I don't know.
It all kind of comes to a head a little bit at this cocktail party that's hosted at the senator's house.
Yeah, that somehow Bruno gets into.
Because I guess he knew, I think it was that his father, who must be well-to-do, was friends or acquaintances with somebody that the senator knows.
Yeah.
It's like an acquaintance of an acquaintance.
Basically, yeah.
And Bruno's not even being subtle anymore. He's just going up to like Guy just in broad daylight in front of groups of people. Like,
Which once again ruins the whole plan because now people are seeing them together multiple times.
yeah, like Bruno sucks at this thing that he created.
Yeah.
And at one point, he even is talking, and he's also giving the crosstalk murder speech to other people.
Yeah.
Goes up to this woman, these two ladies, saying, "Hey, if you could kill somebody, who would you do? How would you do it? No, this is the best way to kill somebody. Hey, let me show you why strangling is the best." The
Yeah.
dude is talking about murder and strangling women at cocktail parties.
Yeah. And I actually did strangle a woman.
Like he gets a
Almost
lot
did,
because
yeah.
he gets a look at Anne's sister, which I don't remember her name, but she looks somewhat like Miriam. And he just gets lost in his own mind and starts actually strangling this woman.
Yeah.
That would have been the perfect time to been like, okay, like I met this guy on this train and he gave me this same spiel. He's a lunatic who I had no idea how unhinged he was.
Yeah. And now
Or
it's
better yet, go to Bruno's dad. He
yeah.
already hates him.
Right. Like, dude.
But Anne kind of puts it together.
Yeah. And she asked him, she's like, did you have this guy kill Miriam?
I can see how it would look like that.
Yeah.
But
But
she at least hears him out.
yeah, he's like, this guy's just nuts. He told me this plan, and I just kind of laughed it off and left. And then he went through with his part, and now I'm just kind of stuck.
The police ain't gonna believe me. They're gonna ask me the same thing that you did. Like, how did you get him to do it?
Yeah.
But Guy has a plan. He calls up Bruno and he tells Bruno, "All right, I'll do it. In
Yeah.
fact, I'm gonna do it tonight so I can get it all done and over with."
Bruno sent him a
So.
care package.
Well, he had sent him a care package beforehand that had a key as well as a gun, I believe,
Yeah.
which I guess you could just mail guns.
Yeah, I guess it's 50s, yeah.
And we see Guy like break into the guy's house, go upstairs. Bruno neglected to tell him about the big dog that they have,
Yeah.
and he goes into the man's room and he's gonna and he says, "Excuse me, Mr. Bruno's dad.
Yeah.
I have something I gotta tell you about your son."
Yeah.
But
But it is Bruno there.
yeah, dad's not there.
Yeah, that's Bruno. He's like, oh, really now?
You're gonna sell me out, huh? Which was your plan really to break into the man's house armed in the middle of the night and wake him up and then tell him about his son?
Right. Because that's an awful plan.
That's an awful plan. Not like, I don't know, maybe in the daytime.
Yeah. Because you wake a man up in the middle of the night with a gun.
With a gun.
They ain't thinking, they're not gonna listen to a word you say.
A loaded gun, too.
Yeah.
Break into his house. Not just break into his house, go creeping up into his bedroom.
Right.
I have something I gotta tell you about your son.
Yeah, okay.
So guy is pretty much like, Bruno, this is off. I ain't fucking doing it. I'm not gonna kill your dad. Hands him the gun, which is also a stupid thing. And then he's like, I'm out of here. And Bruno just straight up says, I'm going to figure out something for you, and it's gonna be not good.
Yeah, this isn't gonna end well for you.
No. Next morning, I have no idea why, but Anne goes to see Bruno's mother.
Yeah.
Hey, there's something wrong with your son. He's a crazy person. He killed my boyfriend's wife.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why between the two of these guys, they both insist on going to the murderer's house.
Right. That's just dumb.
Bruno comes down and is like, oh, hey, well, you must be distraught. Listen, I tried to tell Guy that this whole murdering his wife thing was not a good idea, but
Yeah.
he insisted. Of course I didn't do it, playing
Yeah.
innocent.
Plain innocent. Saying, yeah, he just asked me to go grab his cigarette lighter from the murder scene. And basically, Guy ends up, takes it as, like, oh, Bruno's gonna plant something at the murder scene to frame him.
I guess the thing is, he the lighter, he's gonna
Yeah.
plant it at the crime scene so that I guess if the police have to go back over at the crime scene,
I'll
they'll
find
be
it.
like, oh, his lighter.
Yeah. So after Guy's tennis match, he evades the police and heads towards that amusement park.
But Bruno has a head start on him
Yeah.
because Guy had to go through this whole tennis match, and throughout the tennis match, Bruno is making his way to the amusement park so he can.
Yeah.
Very tensely shot scenes, I thought, by the
Yeah.
way.
Really well shot, yeah.
Yeah, at first I was like, why are they showing us this whole tennis match for it? But then you put it up against Bruno on a train going to the amusement park. Two boring scenes on their own, but
Together.
together makes for
It's
some
potential
tense
to the
stuff.
scene, yeah.
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 But
And then.
Bruno is at the amusement park. Guy arrives along with the tail. He's been being tailed by the police as
Yeah.
their main suspect.
Yeah, but when Bruno arrives, the carnival worker sees him.
Same one that recognized him from the night before.
Yeah, from the night of the murder.
Oh, there's that creepy guy.
Yeah. And so he informs the police who he thinks was the murder, like, hey, this happens.
Then
And
a chase ensues,
yeah, which leads to Guy and
which
Bruno
leads to the
sheriff's office.
police being incompetent because they guy is chasing Bruno. Chase Bruno onto a carousel, and the police just like are like, stop, guy. They still think guy is trying to run and escape. They pull out a gun and just shoot it at the carousel
Yeah.
into a crowd of people, women, children.
And I killed the carousel operator.
Just straight up kill the man.
Dude was just doing his job, did nothing
Guy's
wrong.
just sitting there doing his
Had
job.
nothing to do with this movie.
This is
He's
where
dead.
shit just got unhinged.
Yeah.
Like the police did nothing to try to apprehend this guy throughout the entire chase from the tennis court to Metcalf, and now in a amusement park full of children and carnival goers, they just straight take a gun, try to fire at him. It just fired at it wildly at a carousel, missed the dude, and just straight up killed a man.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, he's getting on a carousel. We can't let him get on something and go in a circle.
Yeah, we can't let him go on this thing. This thing is going 2 miles an hour. How are we going to catch him?
Yeah, and then the carousel operator just dies.
Just dies. I think that he was an afterthought because
Yeah.
that was the weird part of this thing is like we never see that guy again. He's just dead now.
That's the only scene he's when he gets shot.
He dies, but not before leaning onto the on the controls, which makes the carousel go wildly out of control.
Yeah, but I gotta say, out of all the movies we've seen, this carousel operator dying here is a top 10 most messed up death.
Yes.
Bro had
That
nothing to
dude was
do with
just doing his
anything.
job.
Yeah. Yeah,
He was just doing his job, and then the police of all people shoot him.
the good guys shoot
The
him.
good guys.
What?
Again, if their whole point was to apprehend Guy, they have from the tennis court all the way to Metcalf
Yeah.
to like get the guy. And now I don't know why. What's the difference between there and there? And arresting him at the amusement park.
I have no idea, but now the carousel is Going fast.
Going fast, going out of control.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Guy and Bruno are fighting on the carousel.
Yeah.
Both of them trying to get this lighter, which at this point, does the lighter even really matter?
No.
Because Bruno's whole thing was that he wanted to plant it at the Smoochers Island, where the murder scene was. But the cops don't give a shit about that thing. Right? He could just have it on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if getting the lighter back would not exonerate him.
No, it wouldn't.
Like, you could just be like, okay, yeah, you have your lighter, so what?
Yeah. This guy saying he found it at the crime scene.
It's still your word against his.
Yeah.
You're still the one who has the most to gain from the death and everything like that. You are not any less guilty just because you have your lighter.
Yeah. Yeah. But a carnival worker decides he's going to save the day.
To make things worse.
He crawls under the carousel and applies the brakes to it.
Probably killing a couple dozen people.
Yeah.
Because this thing just demolishes itself.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't just, you know, as you would gradually
bring down, like, no, he just stopped.
Bring down the yeah. speed. You wouldn't just immediately put on the brakes, which derails the whole thing and makes it, like, people died that day, I'm sure.
Yeah. And one of those people is Bruno. He is wounded really bad. And then the cops are about to arrest Guy, and the carnival worker's like, no, 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 he's not the one who did it. It's that dude who's about to die.
and Guy's like, tell him, Bruno, just tell him the truth. And he's like, nope.
Yeah.
And then, dies.
Yeah.
But in his hand
is a lighter, yeah.
Again, doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't.
And the guy could have just told him, like, yeah, I mean, that guy could have been lying. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, no, I didn't see him. I saw that guy. Okay, we'll just believe you.
Yeah.
And like, because just the fact, like, him having that lighter doesn't mean anything. He could have just been like, oh, I just found it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think that was as big a piece of evidence as the movie was making it out to be.
And also, the police are like, the guy who's about to die being the murderer makes our job so much easier.
Yep.
No trial or anything. Dude's dead.
Well, right. I mean, the guy says it was him, so, I mean, our job's done.
Yeah. And then the movie ends with Guy and Anne on a train when some dude tries to talk to him like Bruno did, and they just walk away from him.
And then that guy, probably in his own movie, is like, that guy snoped me. I'm going to murder him.
Yeah. This guy who just became a big tennis player thinks he's so much better than the rest of us.
I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find somebody on this train and have them kill this guy for me, and I'll kill his guy.
Yeah, Strangers on a Train 2 coming soon.
Coming soon too. Don't put it past Hollywood.
Yeah,
Alfred Hitchcock is about in the running to have his stuff remade.
I mean, yeah, probably.
All right. So first off, was this a better watch than Abbott and Costello for you?
Oh, definitely. Not even close.
Okay. What was your overall impression of it?
Like, I found,
I had seen it before, but it's been many years.
Yeah, I haven't seen it before, but it's a good drama thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Much in the way, like, you have to be in the mood for this type of movie for it to really enjoy it, because it is a movie where you have to pay attention to it.
Yeah, it is a crime movie. You have to pay attention to stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, you know, some of the horror aspect is kind of the idea of, like, if you just met this random person and it turns out to be a crazy person and they took, like, a, for instance, conversation literally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think I was talking earlier, we've all had those thoughts in our brain, like we've all had people in our brain that we, like, if you could murder them and get away with it, would you, kind of, you know, scenarios in our head. But
yeah, we've all had
that. When you imagine it.
Yeah, about that, but no one ever takes it seriously to actually.
No.
Yeah.
And when you imagine it in your head, you always know everything and you always get away with it. This is a movie that's like, yeah, but if you actually did try to do it, like, it would not go off probably as good as you would think.
No.
And this is before, like, security cameras. And but it's the idea of if somebody took this stuff literally, it would be a horror show. All right, well, why don't we go ahead and break it down then?
Break it down. All right. So for technicals, I'm going to give it an 8. Being 1951, I thought there was a lot of really good shots in it. So, yeah, I'm going to give it an 8. I especially like the shot of Miriam getting strangled in her glasses. I thought that's a really good shot, something I wouldn't expect in a movie this old. So, We're giving it an 8.
I gave it 8.6. That was also my favorite shot. Alfred Hitchcock had a number of different angles that he played around with. That was fun. Again,
Yeah.
the use of sparingly used music, I enjoyed too. A lot
Yeah, I
of
wish
very
movies went
quiet,
back
a lot
to
of it.
that.
What'd you say?
I wish movies went back to that. To
What, just like not.
having music just to be there, have music actually mean something in the movie. Yeah.
Even at the carnival, like they
Yeah.
could have had a lot of tense music, but all you hear is the sound of like the carnival music.
Yeah.
Not the they could have easily had like a lot of dramatic music and stuff like that. And you see the tennis match going on. It's you just hear the tennis match going on.
Yeah.
But it's tense when you put it alongside Bruno being on the train.
Yeah. So, yeah, technically, this is a very good movie. Now, into the story, it's a really good story. It's a reason it's held up so well over the past 74 years. And people will still use that trope or make references to it in today's media. So, I also gave it an 8.
Okay. I gave it an 8.3. It's definitely one that you have to watch, and a lot of the stuff you'll question, like, why did he do this? And I gotta just remind myself it was a different time, and stuff probably that seems obvious now, probably wouldn't have at the time.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just certain instances I'm like, oh well, why don't you just go to the police and tell them they can explain? Maybe I'm just putting a little too much faith into the police department.
Yeah, but you also gotta think if someone came into your cops, so came in like, hey, my wife that I hate and want to divorce and kind of want to choke myself, this guy I met on the train did it, so I'd kill his dad. I'd be like, oh,
They would be like, yeah, right.
yeah, you're full of shit.
Like, in fact, you knew that we were going to be questioning you, so you're obviously.
Yeah, it either you did it or you paid this guy to do it. Either way, we're putting you away for this one. Yeah.
I would just say near the end is where I would deduct the points, like the cops just shooting into the carousel.
Yeah, that's so fucked up.
And the fact that the lighter, in all honesty, wouldn't have exonerated anybody.
Yeah.
Because the more and more I kept listening, I was like trying to think to myself, all right, so what does him having the lighter, how
Yeah.
does that exonerate him now?
I guess police work was just simpler back that day.
Yeah. There was no DNA evidence at the time
And
for the whole
fingerprints,
pregnancy
like, they
thing. There
were a
was no
thing,
fingerprints.
but, like, different cities really didn't share the fingerprints they had, so.
Part of me was also kind of thinking, well, why don't you talk to the senator and get some of his contacts to help with that? Then again, the senator probably doesn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah. Senator
Senator would
wants to sweep
probably
this all under the rug as quick as possible, yeah.
Senator would have called some people and a couple of henchmen to take him away and say, oh, we don't know what happened to Guy. He just up and disappeared.
Yeah, Senator Witch said Guy and Bruno Bert both murdered. Now no one can speak of it. Yeah. All
You'll
right.
find somebody else, darling.
Yeah. Enjoyment. It's a really good classic movie, so I gave it an 8, so just 8 across the board for me.
Okay. I gave it 8.5. I think this is my favorite Hitchcock movie.
Okay. I can see that.
I like it more than Birds,
Yeah.
probably more than Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this movie in over a decade, so all I remembered was the basic premise and that tennis had something to do with it.
Yeah. But yeah, so it definitely gets a really high score for us. Like
For a movie, for a horror, not horror movie.
yeah, like your score was 25.4 out of 30, mine was 24 out of 30, for a total of 24.7 out of 30, which is a really good score.
Yeah, good classic movie.
Yeah, which I don't like a tomato meter put somewhere in the 80s out of 100.
And like I said, next time I will choose something that is most definitely horror, but for a crime thriller,
Yeah. And the differences between the two movies, Abbott and Costello, Meet the Invisible Man was at 19.6, Strangers on the Train was 24.7, so only a 5.1 difference between the two movies compared to last movie, so.
Well, sorry about Abbott and Costello, but at least now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Well, we're all good. So, time for me to select the next double feature.
We still sticking in the 50s?
No. We are going to go to 1939.
That far back?
That far back.
I thought for sure you were going to go like 70s or
Not yet.
not yet.
Mostly because I want to review my non-horror movie of this one, and that is
Okay.
The Wizard of Oz.
You know, that's so funny that you mentioned that one, because I was gonna have Wizard of Oz. I was tossing that around in my head of whether or not I was gonna do that one.
Especially because I do want to see Wicked. I'm just kind of waiting for it to come out on streaming to watch it.
I don't know. I don't necessarily want to see Wicked, but I do want to see the stage play. If that makes sense. Sometimes I think the movie's, I mean, I hear it's getting good reviews, but I don't know. For some reason, I prefer seeing things that were meant for the stage on the stage. But
Yeah, but
enough
I've only
people have
heard
been
good
trying
things.
to get me to go see it. Maybe I will go see it.
Yeah.
I know it's a part one, though.
Yeah. And part two is coming out next, well, this November.
Well, I'll tell you one that I was going to do, but I'm not going to do because I was going to do Alice in Wonderland at one point. But that one's, I don't know, it's hard, kind of hard to grade animated.
Yeah.
But Wizard of Oz is a good one. But what's it going to be paired with?
The horror movie starring Bela Lugosi, the human monster.
The Human Monster.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. All I know, Bela Lugosi's always been, Dracula.
Yeah. I've never heard of this movie, but I saw his in it, so I was like, I'll go with that one.
And you know it will be with a name like Human Monster, you know it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what is that, a drama? Nope.
And with The Wizard of Oz, we all know all the horror of that movie happened behind the scenes.
Yes, with
Yeah.
I'm sure we will go into that and the especially the Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
And that whole terrifying thing that happened with her.
Yeah.
But that'll be treats for next time.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. Have a good week, everybody.
Peace.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.